I am Planta on the line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Once again, I'm joined by an old friend of the program, David Berner, the former radio host, columnist, and performer, is back with a new television series on Shaw TV Community Channel 4. It asks the tough questions on a wide variety of subjects, politics, healthcare, law and order, education, and get them answered with his guests. The first guest is Globe and Mail columnist Gary Mason. They'll talk politics provincially. There's much to talk about. The show airs Mondays at 4:30 a.m., Tuesdays at 10:30 p.m., and Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and Fridays at 2:30 p.m. DavidBurner.com is his website, and the blog is at theburnermonologues.blogspot.com. Please welcome back to broadcasting and the Plant Online program, David Berner.
Hey.
Good morning, Mr. Berner.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. I should say, hello, David. It's so nice to have you back where you belong, but my voice isn't there yet this morning.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. So how is, I guess the new show, the first show, has been taped, right?
Yeah, it's taped and it's on my blog. It's on YouTube. It was wonderful, to tell you the truth. Gary is such a mensch. He's such a marvelous communicator, and he knows the territory so well. I mean, he knows about an awful lot of things, but in this case, we were just discussing the candidates, the six candidates for NDP leadership and the six candidates for Liberal leadership here in the province. And of course, he knows all of these people well, and so it was lively, it was fun, it moved very quickly. It seemed to last all of about a minute. We hope that the viewing audience finds it the same, finds that it's moving. It went great, and the gang down at Shaw are all wonderful. They're all pros at what they do, and they're very gracious, very kind. So it was good. It was a great experience.
And so it's a half an hour deal, right?
It's a half hour show, yeah.
Yeah. You've done TV before, right?
I've done lots of TV. I actually did TV before I did radio. I started, I think the first broadcast work I did was, I was a story editor for CBC Television News here in Vancouver. A story editor is a broad name to describe a lot of functions. Mostly you went out and covered stories, and the story could be anywhere from 90 seconds to 20 minutes, and you set up the interview and the camera shoot and so on, and you worked with the editor, and you were in effect an on-the-street producer and often on-camera interviewer. So that's where I started, and while I was there, and I did a lot of freelancing around the building, so I did some CBC radio and so on. And then in what year? In 74, I was asked to be a host of the flagship program for Access Alberta. It was a daily public affairs show done live from 9 to 10 in the morning, and then repeated at some point or other throughout the day. So I did that for almost a year, and what else? Of course, I did a year as the host of a daily show at CGOH-TV, which is the CTV affiliate in Ottawa. So I've done tons of television. Oh, and of course, for years I did this show on Shaw called Dinner with Dave, which there were three different versions of it. One of them was in the studio and was, I don't know how to put it, it was just sort of funny. But anyway, the other one was that we did for a couple of years. We did it at the Salmon House on the Hill, and that show was much imitated. Afterwards, people saw it, and the next thing you knew, there were all kinds of shows with people sitting in coffee shops. But the one at the Salmon House on the Hill was just me and a guest, and often the guest was a show business kind of person, and somehow over the years, although I still, of course, love show business, I'm interested in it, but I've shifted to being more of a journalist and covering political stories.
And you've been off radio for how long now?
April of 06, so that's 5 years, almost 5 years.
Yeah, did you miss it?
I stood on street corners and
talked to people
and lectured. Yeah.
Did you?
Sometimes I threw a hat on the cement, and people would throw coins in.
That's good. Yeah. Did you find out that you missed it?
You know, to tell you honestly, Joseph, I really didn't think about it. I didn't think that I missed it. But often we don't know ourselves. And once this opportunity came up, I was surprised by how excited I was becoming about it. I really didn't think about it very much. I basically, you know, said, you know, I'm a senior citizen. I basically said, well, that's something you did, you know, and it's behind you, and now you can read books or do whatever you're doing. And then suddenly when this opportunity started to take shape, I started going, oh, my goodness, oh, this is great. Oh, I love this. I must have missed it.
Yeah.
More than I wanted to admit to myself.
Now, did you, I mean, whose idea was it? Was it yours, or was it someone at Shaw, or?
Well, I'll tell you how it happened. It's a bit of both. I was working for Langara College, and I had developed this public forum called the Langara Dialogues, which was a series of debates, old-fashioned, old-style debates, so one-on-one, people fighting with each other in a very strict format. And after we'd done it for about a year, I went to Shaw and spoke with Michael Herringer, who's their wonderful program director, and I said, would you like to, I think you should air these things because they're fabulous, and it's right up your alley for community programming. And he said, well, are you going to be doing a mayoral debate? And I said, funny, you should ask. We have the first and the last of them. We'll do one on October 1st and one on October 29th. Whenever the election was, a couple of years ago, here in the city. So we had Ladner versus Robertson, and Shaw aired those two debates. They were an hour-long event. They were filled with raucous crowds of 300 people. They were terrific. So Shaw loved that program, and we only did one a month, but they aired it 20 times, Joe.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Many times a month. Anyway, when I no longer had the job at Langara, because the president who hired me had retired, and the new president, I guess I wasn't his cup of tea or something, Shaw said, look, if you can put that show together again under a different title, we love it. And now, now we've got a whole, we're missing an hour broadcast because of that. So the library said, well, let's do the library dialogues. And I tried to raise the money to do it, and I couldn't. I couldn't find the money, because when we did it for Langara, of course, Langara covered all the costs of it. They have their own media department, so I didn't need cameras and so on. Well, eventually, Shaw said, you know what, we may be able to film this ourselves. And so this summer, this past fall, Shaw said, come and talk to us, and we may have news for you. So I came in, and they said, yeah, we can film it for you now. And I said, you know what, that's great. If push comes to shove, I'll certainly do the library dialogues, because I love them, I'm very proud of them. But I have an alternate idea for you. And Michael, the program director, said, yeah, what is it? I said, well, to be honest, the dialogues are an incredible amount of work, and there's problems with them. There's a lot of cooks in the broth, the library people, and 300 guests off the street, and you don't know if one of the guests is insane and is, you know, carrying a gun, or, I mean, yeah. You don't know who people are. So you have to have security, and it's a big headache. The result is good, but it's a ton of work. And he said, well, what's the alternative? I said, the alternative is Charlie Rose. The alternative is me at a small table and one or two guests and a black cyclorama around us. And we just do an hour once a week. And without hesitating, Michael Herringer said, it's great, but it's a half hour. And I said, you're right, that's even better. Half hour is even better.
Yeah.
So we did it. And yesterday was the first taping. And it went beautifully.
Yeah, I can see it on my laptop, which is about a foot away from me.
Oh, good.
The only thing I notice is that your jacket looks too big.
My jacket looks too big.
Yeah, it makes your shoulders look, you know.
But no, I'm really built like that.
Really?
I used to be a linebacker.
Yeah. What do you want to accomplish with a show like this? I mean, I think it's a show that we need, but we didn't know we needed.
Why? That's a wonderful comment. Tell me why we need it, even if we know we need it.
I think it's a show. I mean, I know who you're going to have on next week.
Yeah.
And I know who you had on this week, Gary Mason. Yeah. It's a show for, I guess, because I sort of have a feeling of what you'll do with this show in weeks to come. It's not just going to be politics.
No.
But I think there is a lack of sort of political discussion on TV. I know Vaughn Palmer does a show once a week, but I mean that's not nearly enough when, you know, it's British Columbia politics.
Yeah.
And I think I you'll have people on from the arts, I'm sure.
Maybe not. Although I am planning a show about the art gallery.
Yeah.
That's a political football, and that's a $500 million decision.
Yeah, so I think it's a place for serious discussion.
Yeah.
And serious discussion, but also in a fun way, knowing you.
Yeah, look, here's the problem. What do I want to accomplish? I want lively discussion, and as always, it's serious but fun. I just think there isn't a lot of great public discussion in the media these days. We have some great newsrooms, you know, Global, CTV, CBC, none of them can be faulted for their news coverage. They do excellent news work, as do, you know, the couple of channels on Vancouver Island. But there was a time years ago when even news shows would carry a 15-minute or a 20-minute or even an 8-minute segment of a lively discussion with someone in the news. Certainly 1,000 years ago, Hourglass, which was the supper hour news at CBC Vancouver, but the similar shows all across the country, I remember the same thing. I worked for actually for Hourglass in Edmonton 1 year for a while. Those shows would be news shows, but within the package of the news, they'd have a very lively, sometimes confrontive discussion between an interviewer and a political figure or someone from business or whomever, and it just brought an extra spark to the show. And I've tried to talk about that kind of a segment to people in newscasts here, and they are not interested. I don't think it's just that they're not interested in me personally, which I can understand, but they're not interested in that element being in those kinds of shows. I worked in talk radio for close to 15 years, and the truth is, I'm an odd person, and I was never particularly interested in what other people did. I was just interested in my own work. So I didn't listen a lot in the first place, even when I worked in talk radio. I didn't listen to other people. I just did my show and went home. But I guarantee you that since I left, I have not heard a nanosecond of talk radio, but everyone I know, everyone I run into on the street says that talk radio is certainly not what it was 10 years ago, that it's just not lively enough, it's not interesting enough, and so on. So I think a lot of work in radio and TV is softball, and we're not asking enough good questions, and we're not saying things. I mean, one of the first things that came out yesterday after the show was somebody, I had some friends watching the taping, and one of my friends said, you know, one of the neat things about what you just did is you're not only interviewing Gary Mason, but it's clear, although you're not making a big parade out of it, it's clear that you're coming from a certain place, that you have some ideas in your own head, you know, and so you have your own opinions about things, and you're not going on and on about them, but you make it very clear that you're not just a dispassionate interviewer. So I just think, you know, this is how I talk over coffee cups, you know,
yeah.
And I think this is how people talk over coffee cups. They don't interview each other, they have conversations, and in fact, I think our guest, Gary Mason, said the same thing, and several people in the studio yesterday said the same thing. It doesn't read like an interview. It reads like a lively conversation between a couple of intelligent and well-informed people who are having fun talking to each other.
And are you drinking coffee?
We're not. I don't know what he was drinking. I didn't check, but I was drinking hot water.
Now, you also have sponsors for the show, right?
We do.
Yeah, who are they? Just, I guess they want to be mentioned, right?
If we're asking, yeah. Well, KCM Wealth Management, which is a fee-only investment group. The principal is a man named Adrian Mastracci, who's been a friend of mine for many years. And so he's one of the sponsors. David and Mark Goodman of the Goodman Report, this is a father and son combo, who are the premier buyers and sellers of apartment buildings and development sites since 1983. They've bought and sold more big properties than practically anybody around. And I haven't met Mark yet, but I've met David a couple of times, and he's one of the most lively, interesting guys I've ever met. He's a very well-rounded guy with a lot of interest. His wife is a gifted artist. So they're sponsors. Then Tony Dumoulin of Dumoulin Boscovich Lawyers, West Coast lawyers since 1972 or something. Tony is a local lawyer, and Dumoulin Boscovich has a broad general practice, so they're supporting the show. And then Emily Jubb, the publisher of the Vancouver Courier, has done a wonderful cross-promotional deal with me. We're giving her an advertisement, and sometime today I'll go downstairs and pick up the Courier. And she's running a banner every Friday across the bottom of a page for the show.
And I've seen the banner.
Oh, you have?
Well, I've seen the one that I guess the one that you put up on your website.
Oh, there. Yeah. Okay, there you go. Yeah. So those are the sponsors for the moment. It's public television. They're not paying a lot of money, but they're paying, you know, real money out of their pockets, and it's very kind of them. I'm not going to make a fortune and pay for a couple of tomatoes a month. And we have a couple other sponsors that we're working on who might pay us a bit more. So it's great.
And who's coming up on as a guest in the coming weeks?
Next week, Bill Tillman on Bassey Virk. I've already been cautioned by Shaw. Nobody wants to lose their job, and they don't want me or anybody else to be sued. You know, you do have to be a bit circumspect. You know, you want to say what's on your mind, but you can't accuse people of things when there's no evidence and no proof and not even charges. But there are some very serious questions to be asked about the Bassey Virk story, and that story should not be allowed to disappear into the woodwork. And thankfully, some of the candidates for leadership have said that they would hold inquiries, and I think they absolutely must. So Bill Thielman is a wonderful journalist and writes for 24 Hours and for the Tie and on his wonderful blog and so on. He'll be the guest. Then I've got, not necessarily the following week, but soon thereafter, Justice Wallace Craig, who's a retired criminal court judge here in B.C., lives in North Van for many years, wrote a column on justice issues for the North Shore News, and has written a book about his own career. And he's a maverick. He's a guy who thinks that practically everything in the criminal justice system is worse than it's ever been. And I agree with him. We are not rose-colored glasses people, and so it'll be fun to have him on and talk about heroin addiction, crime on the streets, prosecutors, judges, sentencing, parole. He's got some very different opinions about a lot of these things, and frankly, it's refreshing. The Vancouver Art Gallery, I think, is an important story because a lot of people may think it's just about art, and certainly it's about that, but it's about at least two other big issues. That is $500 million of taxpayer money. You know, if the gallery moves as everyone is trying to get it to, as many people are trying to get it to the Beattie Street location of the former bus station behind the Queen Elizabeth Theater, and that becomes a new center of the arts with a performing space and so on, that's going to be $500 million of taxpayer money. On the other hand, there are people like the Condo King, Bob Rennie, who want it to stay where it is and expand underground, burrow or underground, and forget about the little rinky-dink skating rink, which is very cute and adorable, but a couple of strides and you're around it. And the space that for a while has been a sort of UBC classroom underground there in Robson Square. So it's about money, but it's also about what do we think of ourselves as a city? What do we want as a city? And there's no question that Vancouverites, for some paranoid reason, like to run around calling themselves a world-class city, which it isn't. It's a lovely city. I live here, and I live here because I choose to, because I love it. But I don't know, world-class city. It's a sort of a pregnant fishing village, you know? And it's lovely, and it's charming, and I'm sitting and looking at all this greenery. And yesterday I was watching two stellar blue jays, which are the official bird of the province, playing on my back porch, or not playing so much as looking for food. And, you know, it's a great place, but I don't know about world-class city. Well, if one of the signs of a world-class city is the kind of monuments it builds for itself. And we don't have a Seattle Art Museum or a Getty or a Geary or any of the above. So, you know, I'd be happy as a taxpayer to say, well, let's build one. The question is, how much?
Yeah.
So that's coming up. I absolutely am going to do a show about casinos. The thing that's bothering me, Joe, about casinos is not even so much about how the provincial government is cutting back on sharing the casino money with charities, and that does bother me. But what bothers me even more is that it was recently revealed, and everybody yawned, except me and a few others, that the provincial government forgave close to $500 million, $450 million, in building costs to people to build casinos. Now, if you want to open, you know, a shoe store or a milk stand or a coffee shop or a women's dress store or whatever, is the provincial government going to help you build your shop? I don't think so. So how come casinos are being given hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, rather, to help open their establishments? I think there are a lot of questions to ask. And I also want to tell live on the air the story that I went into a casino recently. I'm not a gambler, so I have no interest. But I happened to be at a restaurant next door to a casino. And after we had this wonderful dim sum lunch, we went into the casino. And what do you think we saw?
I have no idea. What did you see, David?
We saw hell. I'm not exaggerating. I thought I had arrived in hell.
Yeah.
We arrived at 12:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday, and we saw darkness and neon lights and a lot of very unhappy looking. I didn't see one person smile. I didn't see one person having a good time. And by the way, 99% of all the people, both the people working there and the people gambling, were all Asian, mostly Chinese. But when they advertise on TV, they're all Caucasian people, and they're all having a wonderful time.
Yeah.
They're having fun. Are you kidding me? These places are, you might as well be in the waiting room at VGH Emergency. They're dreadful, awful places. Anyway, that's just my opinion. But so I want to talk about casinos. That's certainly coming up. I want to get a hold of, now I'm going to ruin her name, Mary Ellen Turpo-LaFon. Did I get close?
Yeah, the child and family advocate or something
like that? Yes, exactly. Because I'm a great admirer of hers. If I'm such an admirer, you'd think I could get it anyway. But that was as close I'd get without reading it. I think she's doing great and important work, and in contrast, the Ministry of Families, Children and Families has consistently for two decades done terrible work. One minister after another has been moved in and out of that ministry, including Christy Clark, and accomplish next to nothing, and children continue to die at an alarming rate. We continue to have the highest rate of child poverty in the country and so on. And I think this woman is doing heroic work, and I want to get her on and hear what her vision is, what she has, to, what she sees, and what she thinks we ought to do, and so on. So those are some of the... That's not like fun, does it? But it is fun.
Yeah, you're fired up, David.
I am fired up. Yeah. I'm pumped, man. I'm riffed.
Congratulations on the show, Break a Leg. We'll be watching it.
Thanks so much.
David Berner, that's the name of the show, and that's the name of its host, coincidentally. The show is on Mondays at 4:30 a.m., Tuesdays at 10:30 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., Fridays at 2:30 p.m. You can watch them as well on his website, thebernermonologues.blogspot.com. David Berner on the line. In Vancouver, I'm Joseph Planta.